Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Voice of America.
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which resumes its third season on Wednesday, April 26th, when Nile Conference games tip off in Cairo, Egypt. Six teams will compete in Cairo. Local favorite Al Ahly of Egypt, Cape Town Tigers of South Africa, City Oilers of Uganda, Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique, Seydou Legacy Athletic Club, or SLAC of Guinea, and 2022 BAL finalist Petro de Luanda of Angola. Each team will play five conference games, and the top four teams will advance to next month's BAL playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the 2022 BAL Coach of the Year, Jose Neto of Petro de Luanda, said his team will have to play its best basketball this year to lift the trophy.
The ball is a very tough league, and teams have invested big each year in order to be more and more competitive. When we learned about the difficult group we landed in, we knew we would have to play at our best if we wanted to make it all the way to the finals in Kigali. Because of its competitiveness, anything can happen as far as which teams will go far and which ones will fall on the way. We have to raise the level of our game, our focus, our attention to detail, and definitely play our best basketball. There's no room for error, but I believe we're up for the challenge and ready to hopefully win it all this year.
Your team made it to the Basketball Africa League playoffs in Rwanda last year. What are your chances of qualifying for this year's playoffs?
Our road up to this point is in the books, not only in the way we qualified for this competition as the national champions once again, but also proving as runner-up in last year's ball that we belong in this competition for sure. Though we know we've got to climb this mountain from the bottom all the way up to the top again this year. Our mindset has to be on point. We cannot go into this year thinking about last year's run. This is a whole new road ahead with the new challenges and obstacles, new teams, ours as well, since we have seven new players on the roster. So we must play each game as a competition in itself.
Coach, the Men's Basketball Africa League is in season three. What's your assessment of the league so far?
Having played the first two editions of the ball, we could tell each year the competition becomes more difficult. The road to ball this time showed, along with the Sahara Conference, that the 2023 edition is going to be even tougher. We can see a more organized, more competitive, and improved league. The ball has taken African basketball to a whole new level as far as visibility, quality, and potential. Who knows where African basketball will be in the near future as a result of teams having gone through the ball. We may very well see African teams joining the world's best in a very short time.
That's Jose Neto, the head coach of Petro de Luanda Basketball Club, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Luanda, Angola.
Sports greetings. This is Jose Neto, head coach of Petro de Luanda Basketball Club of Angola. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. Season three of the Basketball Africa League is here. Coming up, on April 26th. Nile Conference action tips off in Cairo, Egypt. Local favorite Al Ahly of Egypt will host Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique in the opening Nile Conference game. We'll be broadcasting that game and other Nile Conference encounters right here on The Voice of America. The Voice of America will once again be flexing its multilingual broadcasting muscles. We've been broadcasting the BAL games on radio in English, French, Bambara, Portuguese, and Kinyarwanda. Multilingual broadcasting muscles. Yes, the Voice of America has them. And we urge you to tune in when Nile Conference action begins on April 26th in Cairo, Egypt. The Basketball Africa League, right here on The Voice of America. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In first round NBA playoff action on Sunday, the Boston Celtics, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors, the New York Knicks, and the Minnesota Timberwolves all scored victories. Playing at home, the Timberwolves avoided elimination with a 114-108 victory over the Denver Nuggets. Denver now leads that best of seven series 3-1. Anthony Edwards led Minnesota with 34 points, while Nikola Jokic, the two-time league most valuable player, tied a playoff career high with 43 points for the Nuggets. In San Francisco, the Golden State Warriors pulled out a narrow one-point victory over the Sacramento Kings. The AP's Ryan Leong reports.
Sacramento's Harrison Barnes missed the game-winning three-point shot attempt at the buzzer as the Warriors hang on to beat the Kings 126-125. Stephen Curry led the Warriors with 32 points.
We have to maintain our composure on that front, turnovers and offensive rebounds, game five. Like you said, it's a great opportunity. We know we have to win one in that building to get out of this series. Might as well be game five.
Klay Thompson added 26 for Golden State to tie the series at 2 games apiece. In the loss, De'Aaron Fox with 38 points and Keegan Murray with 23. Game five is in Sacramento on Wednesday night. Ryan Leong, San Francisco.
Thanks, Ryan. From San Francisco, let's go to the 1996 Olympic City of Atlanta, where the Boston Celtics clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks. The AP's Jim Hart reports from Atlanta.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown each poured in 31 points as the Celtics extended their series lead to 3-1 over the Hawks with a 129-121 victory. Brown started the game shooting 1-for-7. He took off the protective mask he's worn since February and then knocked down 11 of 15 the rest of the way.
I just needed something different. I don't know what it was. I needed to change my shoes, wipe my hands off, you know, take the mask off, whatever I needed to do. I just needed to help my team get a win, and that's what I was trying to do.
Marcus Smart added 19 points for the Celtics, while Trae Young led the Hawks with 35. Jim Hart, Atlanta.
Thanks, Jim. From Atlanta, let's go to New York City, where the New York Knicks beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. The AP's Tom Merriam reports.
The Knicks have jumped down to a 3-1 lead against the Cavaliers by winning game four 102-93. New York jumped down to a 15-point lead in the first half, then had to weather a Cleveland comeback. With the score tied at 75 and just under 10 minutes to play, R.J. Barrett led a 15-6 run that put the Knicks just one win away from advancing to the second round for the first time in a decade.
Fourth quarter just staying tough. You know, every time they threw a punch, kind of threw some back.
Barrett finished with 26 points, 10 in the fourth quarter. Jalen Brunson led all scorers with 29. Josh Hart added 19. Game 5 Wednesday in Cleveland. Tom Merriam, New York.
Thanks, Tom. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, Kenya's Kelvin Kiptum clocked 2 hours, 1 minute, and 25 seconds, the second fastest time in history to win the men's title Sunday at the London Marathon. Kiptum's time was only 16 seconds off the world record of fellow Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge. And Ethiopia-born Dutch runner Sifan Hassan made a dramatic comeback to win the women's race in London in 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 33 seconds. Joining us now from London with a post-race report is the energetic Andy Edwards. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What can you say about the life story so far of Sifan Hassan, a double Olympic champion on the track in Tokyo 2 years ago, having arrived as a teenage refugee from Ethiopia in the Netherlands in 2011, and who beat one of the best women's fields ever assembled for a marathon on her debut at the distance, after appearing to be on the brink of dropping out because of injury early in the race? Hassan admitted beforehand that she was embarking on a journey into the unknown, that she was facing some of the best in the world, including the Olympic champion Peres Chepchechir of Kenya, Ethiopia's winner last year in London, Yanemsef Yuhalo-Law, and the world record holder Bridget Koskei of Kenya. Hassan admitted after victory that she cried on the morning of the race. So great was her agitation, exacerbated by a thigh injury which she forgot to ask the physio to tape. Well before halfway, she looked in trouble, stopping to stretch the leg and hip muscles. Many an experienced observer was saying at the time, drop out and save yourself for the track season. Sifan Hassan was not in the mood to take such advice. At halfway, she was 11 seconds down on the leading pack, who was steaming along at 2 hours 18 finishing pace. World record holder Bridget Koskei had dropped out injured within the first mile, but Peres Chepchechir was pushing the pace in a strong group. Yet again, fate challenged her. At 40 kilometres, she nearly crashed into the lead motorcycle when reaching for her drinks bottle. She made up the leeway, but was third with 200 metres remaining down the home straight when she turned on her track speed. Sifan Hassan won in 2 hours, 18 minutes, 33 seconds, finishing 3 seconds ahead of Alemu Megertu of Ethiopia, with Peres Chepchechir, the Olympic champion, another second down. Before the race, Hassan admitted she was heading into the unknown, and this performance was simply unforgettable.
So 1,000 things are going on, no? Because it's unknown, you know, I don't know, and just the journey, I have no idea. And my thing is, like, mostly I'm really curious, and I'm also at the same time very nervous. Where is how it's going to go, how hard is, how pain is, what is, like, what is the challenge, actually? It's good. Is it just learning when it's going to be well or not? This is like...
Does Eliud Kipchoge have reason to worry about the threat from fellow Kelvin Kiptum for his marathon crown? You bet he does. Kiptum broke the London course record in his second race at the distance, with his time of 2 hours, 1 minute and 25 seconds.
I'm very happy to run my second fastest time in history. My preparation was good. Everything was going on well. The secret is training. I've been training a lot. Everything is good. My training, very okay. I was very happy to be invited in London. I love the crowd cheering. That gives me a lot of motivation. I keep on pushing.
And all this after Kiptum ran the third fastest marathon in history when winning on his debut at the distance in Valencia in December. Eliud Kipchoge was only sixth in Boston a week ago, and his psychological dominance may well have been broken for good. And he was there to witness the challenge to his throne in London, having been given the role of official race starter. There was a personal best for Geoffrey Kamworor of Kenya as runner-up with 2 hours 4 minutes and 23. And the world champion Tamarat Tola of Ethiopia delivered another consistent performance in third place, but was over 3 minutes behind the mighty Kelvin Kiptum. Marathon fans will talk about this day for a long time to come. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Kelvin Kiptum and Sifan Hassan, the 2023 men's and women's champions at the London Marathon. The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com. Prince Nesta joins us now with a look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Liverpool's Egyptian talisman Mo Salah and Diogo Jota are on target as the Reds secured a 3-2 win against Nottingham Forest in an entertaining clash played at Anfield. The win marked the Reds' fourth unbeaten game in a row, with club's men moving to 7th place on 50 points. Nottingham Forest dropped to second last in the table with 27 points. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp shared his thoughts on the match.
All goals were super smart, good crosses, good finishes, so that was all good. And then we should have controlled it a bit better, but it's actually, in most moments we controlled it, but in these little moments, they just needed a throw-in that everything ends in a chaos again, and that's what made the life really difficult. So we came through it, and I'm happy, really happy, because we showed a lot of things I wanted to see. Was a different game, obviously, to the Leeds game, because you need to score to change their way, and you need to keep the lead to change that. If we won it up and then can score a second one, that's the moment the game changed. Apart from that, there's no chance that the game changed at all. They sit deep, they wait for their chance, and they know if the ball passed the sideline, then we will be dangerous. That's it.
That's Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp discussing his team's win against Nottingham Forest in the Premier League. English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka, Martin Odegaard and Gabriel Martinelli all registered their names in the score sheet as Arsenal rescued a point in a thrilling 3-3 home draw against bottom side Southampton. Carlos Alcaraz, Theo Walcott and Khaled Akar all scored for the visitors to hammer blow to Arsenal's quest to win the league for the first time since 2004. This was the Gunners' third draw in a row, following back-to-back away draws against Liverpool and West Ham United. Arsenal striker Gabriel Jesus assessed his team's performance.
Obviously, we don't want to come here and talk negative, because we are very positive. You know, the season we are doing is amazing. Obviously, it's a Premier League. It's not easy. It's tough. You know, you compete against tough teams like Southampton. They come, try to, you know, defend good and then counter-attack and kill us. You know, unlucky we concede an early goal. That's kill our plan, you know. But I think a part of this, we play really good. We respond really good with the crowd. Everyone come with us, you know. I think it's, we are doing, now is the difficult moment, you know. We are putting ourselves in some difficult momentums in the game, But it's now time to stick together till the end. We still have a lot of things to do in the season, and then it's nothing over. It's still 5 points clear, and obviously they have 2 games in hand. And then if we want to be champions, we have to go there and win the game. That's all.
The Genesis boss Mikel Arteta also shared his thoughts on the match.
It was a very emotional game and disappointing because we didn't get the 3 points. That after all what happened in the game, I still believe that we deserved. But we have to look in the mirror. We give 3 really easy goals away again, and when that's the case, it's extremely difficult to win in this league.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta discussing his team's draw against bottom side Southampton in the Premier League. Third place Newcastle United frustrated Tottenham's bid to qualify for the Champions League next season by beating them 6-1 at St James's Park. Swedish striker of Eritrean descent Alexander Isak, Jacob Murphy, Joelinton and Callum Wilson all registered their names in the score sheet to help the Magpies move above Manchester United into third place with 59 points. Spurs boss Christian Stellini shared his thoughts on the match.
There's no word to explain a performance like this. First 25 minutes were maybe the worst I have ever seen. And I hope that the system we change to give energy and mood was the wrong decision. If it's that, it's my responsibility. We change system, we play with 4 at the back, and if this is the mistake, it's my mistake.
That's Tottenham manager Christian Stellini assessing his team's loss against Newcastle United in the Premier League. Manchester United will face neighbours Manchester City in the FA Cup final after beating Brighton 7-6 in a penalty shootout, which ended goalless in regular time. The Red Devils and the Citizens will square it off for the first time in the finals of an FA Cup on June 3rd, giving United a golden opportunity to possibly stop Manchester City from completing the treble. Only the Red Devils have won a treble in England, a feat they last achieved in 1999. Here is United manager Erik ten Hag's assessment of the match.
First, we are physical, strong, and we are mentally strong. So we showed the character and the personality what is necessary to do that. And I can tell you it's not so easy, but we did it. I think we were determined to win this game.
That's United manager Erik ten Hag discussing United's FA Cup semi-finals win against Brighton at Wembley Stadium. Moving on to the French league, French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice as Paris Saint-Germain cruised to a 2-1 away win against Angers. The 24-year-old has now scored 34 goals in all competitions, helping the Parisians move 12 points clear the top of the French league table. Sengiz Ondosi's first-half opener and a last-minute own goal by Malo Gusto helped second-place Marseille secure a 2-1 win against Lyon. Lens also thrashed fourth-place Monaco 3-0, thanks to a double from Belgian striker of Congolese descent Louis Openda and Adrian Thomason. Another English striker of Congolese descent Stephy Mavidi netted to help Montpellier secure a 1-0 win against Henné, while Canadian footballer of Haitian descent Jonathan David scored his 21st goal of the season for Lille, who are held to a 1-1 draw by Auxerre. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Turning to tennis, the 19-year-old Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz successfully defended his title at the Barcelona Open, defeating Stefanos Tsitsipas of Greece in straight sets 6-3 and 6-4. It was the third title this year for Alcaraz and the ninth of his career. He's currently ranked second in the world behind only Novak Djokovic. Meanwhile, the fastest growing sport here in the USA is the racket paddle sport, pickleball. But not everyone loves it. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Maxime Moskalkov reports.
Pickleball, indoors and outdoors, this paddle sport is growing across America. The number of pickleball players in the U.S. grew by 159% between 2020 and 2022, according to the Sports and Fitness Industry Association. That totals nearly 9 million players. The hype is real, says Helen White, with the American Pickleball Association for Northern Virginia and Washington.
I just finished a week where I taught 15 classes, and that would be about 90 students. My youngest was about 7. My oldest was probably in their 80s. The courts are too crowded. When you have 20, 30, 40 people waiting to play on a court, that tells you something.
Pickleball is a kind of hybrid of tennis, ping pong, and badminton. The court is 2 times smaller than tennis courts. The net is low, and the ball moves much slower. Real estate professionals say more residential complexes are adding pickleball courts to attract buyers. But there is one problem. When the paddle hits the ball, it makes a loud, whacking noise. Recently in Chicago, people living next door to a park with a pickleball court created a petition demanding that the court be removed. One of the signatories, John T., who wished to remain anonymous, told VOA that he lives with his wife and 2 daughters near the park.
Sometimes I feel trapped, like it's a beautiful day out, it's 70 degrees out, and we have our windows shut. We can still hear it through the windows. We can't even take a nap. It's just relentless.
In an email to Voice of America, pickleball player Lisa Davis fought back, saying, quote, "This is not a children's park. It is ruled by the city of Chicago as a public park for all residents, regardless of race, age, or gender, to use." To help solve the problem, engineer Bob Anitich founded Pickleball Sound Mitigation, a company that researches and advises communities on ways to quiet the game. Anitich himself, an avid player and a qualified pickleball referee, has already worked with more than 100 clients from the United States, Canada, and Europe.
So we began to study paddles and balls to reduce the sound level of paddles and balls by selecting quieter equipment. We can look at sites all over the U.S. and in other countries on Google Earth and look at the distances to homes, and we can recommend different kinds of barriers that might be used to reduce the sound level.
What's clear is that pickleball isn't going away, so finding ways to play quietly may be the only long-term answer. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
And that wraps up the April 24th edition of the show.
I get it.
Thank you for tuning in. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.